Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Fed officials lay plans to taper as soon as next month.
A former Treasury Secretary blasts the Fed for its handling of inflation.
And big banks' earnings continue with Citigroup, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo all reporting.
New York Mayor de Blasio calls for traffic congestion pricing, plus former Acting Attorney General Rosen meets with the committee on the Capitol riot. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Giants are hopeful Daniel Jones can play Sunday. The Rangers lost their season opener in Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And futures are pointing to a higher open this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 30 points. Dow futures up 208. NASDAQ futures up 120 points. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd. Now the yield 1.53%. Yield on the 2-year 0.35. NYMEX crude up 1.1% at $81.34 a barrel, John.
Nathan, let's start with the latest from the Federal Reserve. Minutes from the central bank's latest meeting show officials ready to start pulling back bond purchases as soon as next month. The markets took the news in stride. Stocks rose while yields on 2- and 10-year treasuries fell. Low rates will continue to be the norm, according to Wells Fargo portfolio manager Margie Patel.
So we think we are doomed to be in a very low interest rate environment as far as the eye could see. That's what the Fed wants, and they're the ones that have the ability to make that true.
Margie Patel says investors hoping for higher Treasury yields will likely be disappointed.
Well, staying on the Fed now, John, one outspoken former Treasury Secretary is taking aim at the central bank. Let's get the details from Bloomberg's Renita Young, who joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Later, Larry Summers is blasting Fed officials for their handling of inflation. The former Treasury Secretary says some are paying too much attention to social issues like the environment and financial access and not enough to risk posed by higher prices.
We have a generation of central bankers who are defining themselves by their wokeness. They're defining themselves as by how socially concerned they are.
Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers made the comments on the heels of yesterday's latest inflation data. He says inflation risks are at the highest level since the 70s. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. We're going to get more inflation data today in the form of producer prices for September. Economists forecast an increase of 0.6%. Let's get more now from Bloomberg's Vinnie Deljunais.
Bloomberg Economics says supply shortages continue to nudge wholesale costs higher coming out of the pandemic, the tangled supply chain. There's evidence based on Wednesday's jump in the September Consumer Price Index that those costs are being passed on to households. A Federal Reserve survey suggests Americans are bracing for higher prices in the months ahead. Vinny Deljunais, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Vinny, those price concerns are rearing their ugly head in Asia as well. China's factory gate inflation for September is now at its highest level since 1995. And we get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
PPI jumped 10.7%, stoked by a nationwide energy crisis and spiking coal prices. The reading was higher than the 9.5% gain in August, and it exceeded the 10.5% estimate. Now, China's move to cut energy consumption has led to an electricity shortage, and as a result, we've seen factory production halts in more than 20 provinces. I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. Much of the price gains we're seeing are blamed on supply chain issues. And now the White House laying plans to fight the supply chain slowdown by operating ports more efficiently. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
Los Angeles Port announcing it is going to operate now 24/7. President Joe Biden says meaningful.
This is across-the-board commitment to going to 24/7. This is a big first step in speeding up the movement of materials and goods through our supply chain.
Now, the Port of Los Angeles announcement came after discussions with the administration and labor unions, a step the White House called overdue. As well, six companies, including FedEx, United Parcel, also committed to expanding their deliveries. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Ed. Moving to Wall Street now, it's all about big bank earnings. Citigroup, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo all report this morning. We get more from Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basak.
After J.P. Morgan reported earnings yesterday, we saw average loans growing, but not by much, and not in every business. So we'll be watching for loan growth at Wells Fargo and Bank of America, two of the biggest consumer businesses in America, and Citigroup, one of the biggest in the world, and its card business as well is among the largest issuers. At Morgan Stanley, we'll be keeping an eye on equity trading, as it's the biggest equity trading shop on Wall Street, and J.P. Morgan had already blown it out of the water. Shanali Basak, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Shanali. Turning to Capitol Hill now, a crackdown on big tech appears to be in the works. A bipartisan group of senators plans to introduce legislation to prevent companies like Amazon and Apple from giving advantage to their own products over competitors. The bill, which will be announced later today, would prohibit companies from using data to hurt competition, stacking search results in their favor, or restricting other services on their platforms.
Well, one of Facebook's earliest investors is turning critical of the social network, John. Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn, partner at the venture capital firm Greylock Partners, says Facebook has lost people's trust for good reason and isn't responding well to recent whistleblower claims.
Once you discover something that is potentially very dangerous and damaging, what we should now hear from the company is, when we saw these reports, here's the stuff we started doing. Here's the way we started making trade-offs against what might otherwise be in our interest, engagement, revenue, whatever, in order to solve these problems. And that's what you want to see from companies.
Reid Hoffman tells Bloomberg's Emily Chang he thinks the public is losing trust in Facebook.
And Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we're in the green this morning. Dow futures up 213. S&P futures right now, they are 30 points higher. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, let's bring in Michael Barr now to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city's COVID-19 vaccination mandate for restaurants, gyms, and entertainment venues is going so well that only 15 businesses have been fined for not enforcing the policy. De Blasio says that the high rate of compliance with the vaccine mandate shows that the vast majority of business owners want to keep their employees and customers safe.
Since that mandate was announced, the Key to NYC mandate, the city vaccination rate has increased 9% overall.
The mandate started a month ago. Mayor Bill de Blasio is also amping up calls for congestion pricing to combat traffic in increasingly congested streets and encourage a faster return to mass transit amid the recovery from the pandemic. De Blasio says there is clearly a problem of too many people in cars. Authorities say an off-duty NYPD officer shot two women inside a Brooklyn home in what police are calling a domestic dispute. One of the victims, a 24-year-old, was pronounced dead at a local hospital, while the other, a 23-year-old, remains hospitalized. Assistant Chief Michael Kemper says the officer was in an intimate relationship with the 23-year-old woman.
The individual responsible for the shooting is a 31-year-old female who was a 5.5-year veteran of the NYPD. She's a police officer assigned to a patrol borough, Brooklyn South precinct.
Assistant Chief Kemper says the officer was taken into custody. President Biden is rejecting Donald Trump's executive privilege claims and instructed the National Archives to release Trump's January 6th related documents to a House committee investigating that attack. Meanwhile, former Acting Attorney General Jeff Rosen testified for the committee yesterday. They've also subpoenaed his former associate Jeffrey Clark, Loyola Law Professor and former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
Rosen has said that the president, President Trump at the time, tried to drag the Department of Justice into his effort to overturn the 2020 election. Rosen refused to do what the president wanted. And so the president was trying to get one of Rosen's underlings, Clark, to actually move into his place.
Professor Levinson spoke to CBS. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg QuickTake, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John, the Rangers and Capitals played nicely in the season opener in Washington as opposed to what happened last May when Caps enforcer Tom Wilson punched the Rangers' Artemi Panarin and Pavel Buchnevich and then didn't get suspended, and the Rangers a few days later took off the gloves, and there were six fights in the first 5 minutes. No fights last night, although the Rangers hurt themselves with nine penalties. The Capitals won easily 5-1. Alex Ovechkin scored twice. The Islanders open their season tonight at Carolina. They're playing their first 13 games on the road until their new arena is ready to go. Knicks, for what it's worth, went 3-0 in the preseason. They beat the Pistons at the Garden 108-100. Julius Randle scored 29. We've heard from Kyrie Irving via Instagram. His first comments since the Nets announced that Irving will not play for them as long as he has not gotten vaccinated.
Why are you putting it on me? You know, like this is not part of, you know, what's going on in conversations with scientists, physicians, and doctors. I'm just a hooper, right? Like I'm just a person who's being utilized as an example. For some odd reason, you know, people love to have my name in the mix of just some BS.
Sometimes it's hard with Kyrie to know exactly what he's talking about, but he did say he's not an anti-vaxxer, that his stance is about being upset that people are losing jobs over vaccine mandates. Bucks and Eagles play in Philadelphia tonight, kicking off week six. Giants say quarterback Daniel Jones on track to play Sunday against the Rams, despite last week's concussion. Baseball Giants and Dodgers, they played a winner-take-all game in New York 70 years ago. That was the Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world. They play a decisive Game 5 tonight in San Francisco. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks a lot. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, risk on so far this morning. Dow futures up 210 points. The S&P E-mini futures right now 29 points higher. And the NASDAQ futures are up 111 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are rising this morning. Traders are taking in stride further signs of a global inflationary pressures building in the recovery from the pandemic. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 28 points. Dow futures up 208. NASDAQ futures up 113. 10-year Treasury yield 1.53%. 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for our daily crypto update. It's brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points. No hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with your latest crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Right now, Bitcoin is trading above 57,000. Cryptocurrencies are rising on building speculation that the SEC could approve a futures-backed product as soon as this week. ARK Investment CEO Kathy Wood is joining the slate of Wall Street players hoping regulators will soon greenlight an ETF tracking Bitcoin futures. An SEC filing shows the new ARK 21 shares Bitcoin futures strategy ETF plans to invest in Bitcoin futures contracts that trade on commodity exchanges. And we're seeing more support coming for crypto now coming out of Russia. President Vladimir Putin tells CNBC that cryptocurrencies have the rights to exist and can be used successfully to transfer funds from one place to another. But at the same time, Putin says they are very unstable. He adds that it's still the early days for possibly using Bitcoin to trade oil or other base materials and sources of energy. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak. Nathan?
Okay, Renita, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you, sir. The White House once again said it would not support former President Donald Trump's assertion of executive privilege over records related to the January 6th insurrection. They ordered the National Archives to turn over documents to congressional investigators within 30 days. A man armed with a bow and arrows killed five people and wounded others near the Norwegian capital of Oslo. An investigation is underway into the motive. NHL, the Capitals beat the Rangers 5-1. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The White House making moves to ease supply chain bottlenecks. Late yesterday, President Biden announced plans to expand service at California ports with operations extended to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
This is the first key step toward moving our entire freight, transportation, and logistical supply chain nationwide to a 24/7 system.
The Biden administration accelerating efforts to break up the logjam at ports as data show U.S. imports at record highs. Well, let's get more on the effort now from one of President Biden's top economic advisors. Jared Bernstein is a member of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, and he discussed the supply chain crunch with Bloomberg's Tom Keene shortly after the president's remarks. Let's listen into that conversation right now.
This was a speech for labor. Is labor to blame for this supply shock?
No, this supply shock has many parents. Most of them have to do with the pandemic itself. When the pandemic hit, we saw a real spike in demand for manufactured goods at a time when, of course, many people couldn't go to work. So we've had increased demand hitting contracting supply. This has been a story ever since before we got here, and that's why we've been talking about and organizing and working on this task force around these issues, culminating with some of the announcements you've heard today. But this is a problem that's been with us for a long time, and it's just like $21 trillion economies, international supply chains don't get shut right on and off like a light switch.
Jared, Ken Rogoff of Harvard spoke to me about this over 15 years ago. And as a president, and frankly, folks, I thought it was the high point of the Biden comments, the president talked about just in time. We are now in a crisis. Just in time is dead. Is there a permanence here, or do we go back to the just in time of decades ago?
You know, listening to the president's comments, I think I hear more of a permanence, and I appreciate that you pulled that out. And the way I would, the word I would use here is resilience. We simply have to build much more deeply resilient supply chains. That's certainly the goal that he set out for our supply chain task force, led by many of the secretaries that you've been talking to today. And one of the key ways to increase resiliency is to broaden the portfolio, increase the economy supply side. One of the ways you do that is by moving to 24/7 at the ports. And in order to do that, in the Port of L.A., the president convened union, businesses, port leaders all together to hold hands and make this change. It's precisely a microcosm of the kind of resiliency that we're trying to build in here for the long haul.
How long are you giving? What's your timeline on Long Beach and L.A. to improve and get this solved? Are we talking weeks to fix this, months,
you know,
or is this going to go into the primary season of the 2022 election?
You know, my understanding is that these changes are taking place as we speak. We've got Walmart, UPS, FedEx, Samsung, Home Depot, and Target talking about moving an additional 3,500 containers a week off of the ports into trucks with chassis and onto warehouses and then onto shelves. So this is fast-acting intervention. Longer term, that's where the Building Back Better agenda comes in. And look, again, I'm going back to this, the absence of investment in public goods, both in human capital, in education, in healthcare, in climate, and in concrete public capital, bridges, potholes, clean water systems. for the longer term, if we're going to address the supply side shortfalls that we're seeing here in a microcosm in a lasting way, then we have to pass lasting legislation to do so. And that's the infrastructure plan and building back better.
That's White House Chief of Counsel, House Council of Economic Advisors member Jared Bernstein speaking with Bloomberg's Tom Keene late yesterday. The administration is moving to stem the fallout from supply chain issues. But President would suggest that extending port hours won't solve the problem entirely. Experts say delays are also tied to backlogged demand from the pandemic, plus a diminished workforce. This association we're going to continue to keep an eye on as we head into the year's holiday shopping season. Checking futures right now, the Dow futures up 199 points. That's up 0.6%. S&P E-mini futures 28 points higher. That's up 0.7%. And the NASDAQ futures 112 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak being brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye towards a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston,
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco,
Bloomberg 960.
To the country,
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Futures are on the rise this morning after minutes from the Fed's latest meeting showed officials ready to start pulling back bond purchases as soon as next month. Markets took the news in stride. Stocks rose. Yields on 2- and 10-year treasuries fell. We get more from Wells Fargo portfolio manager Margie Patel.
When you put it all together, the Fed is convinced that they will provide enough liquidity that we won't have any real hiccups in the economy due to inflation. So as long as they keep the money spigot open, we'll have a little bit of inflation, and the Fed will accommodate the financial markets to keep them going up.
And Margie Patel says investors who are hoping for higher Treasury yields will likely be disappointed.
And staying on the Fed now, one outspoken former Treasury Secretary is taking aim at the central bank. Let's get details from Bloomberg's Renita Young, who joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Larry Summers is blasting Fed officials for their handling of inflation. The former Treasury Secretary says some are paying too much attention to social issues and not enough to the risk posed by higher prices.
They're defining themselves by how concerned they are about the environment, financial excess, and business ethics.
Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers says inflation risks are at the highest level since the 70s. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Renita, inflation concerns showed up in Asia overnight as well. Data there show China's factory inflation growing at the fastest rate in almost 26 years. September's producer price index rose 10.7% from a year earlier.
And Nathan, back here in the U.S., all about banks today. Several big firms report third quarter earnings today on the heels of yesterday's results from J.P. Morgan. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky reports.
Bank of America, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley will open their books today. And once again, lending growth will be a major focus. B of A and Citi traded lower yesterday after J.P. Morgan reported a decline in consumer and commercial lending. Analysts see a more than 3% decline in total loans at Bank of America. Citi's are expected to grow by 5.3%. Morgan Stanley is expected to see a 6% profit gain on strong institutional revenue. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And after today's round of bank earnings, stay tuned for an interview with the CEO of Morgan Stanley. James Gorman sits down with Bloomberg Radio and Television coming up at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time today. Futures on the rise with S&P futures up almost 29 points. Dow futures up 204. NASDAQ futures up 113 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. Let's bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city's COVID-19 vaccination mandate for restaurants, gyms, and entertainment venues is going well. De Blasio says that the high rate of compliance with the vaccine mandate shows that the vast majority of business owners want to keep their employees and customers safe.
So far, there's been over 31,000 inspections all across New York City to make sure the Key to NYC approach was working. And so far, after a full month, all the preparation, all the communication, all the education, there's only been 15 violations necessary in that whole time.
Mayor de Blasio is also amping up calls for congestion pricing to combat traffic in increasingly congested streets and encourage a faster return to mass transit amid the recovery from the pandemic. De Blasio says there is clearly a problem of too many people in cars. An off-duty New York City police officer is in custody after authorities say she shot two women. The shooting yesterday left one woman dead and the other wounded. Assistant Chief Michael Kemper says the officer was in an intimate relationship with one of the women.
The MOS, the cop, had a relationship with a female. That female is alive. There's another female in the equation who was shot and pronounced deceased.
Assistant Chief Kemper says the officer was arrested. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol interviewed former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen yesterday for 8 hours. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson believes it's a significant development for the committee to be interviewing Rosen.
This is very helpful for the committee because it paints the portrait of why January 6th was happening, that President Trump was trying to use all the aspects of government, including the Department of Justice.
Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson spoke to CBS. The committee also subpoenaed Rosen's former associate, Jeffrey Clark. The head of the Chicago Police Officers Union has called on its members to defy the city's requirement to report their COVID-19 vaccination status before the weekend or be placed on unpaid leave. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The puck dropped on a new Rangers season. The new coach, Gerard Gallant. But in Washington, the same star player. The Capitals weren't sure Alex Ovechkin was going to play. He did. 2 goals, 2 assists. The Caps won 5-1. Ovechkin now with 732 career goals. He moved ahead of one-time Ranger Marcel Dion into fifth all-time. He even scored shorthanded for only the fifth time in his career. There were no fights. Rangers and Capitals played a fight-filled game last May as a result of the Caps' Tom Wilson having sucker-punched a couple of Ranger players. Knicks beat the Pistons at the Garden 108-100. Also, NBA preseason last night, Dallas beat Charlotte by 68. The Nets moving on without Kyrie Irving. Coach Steve Nash said the decision to not use Irving, even for road games, was difficult but sound. Irving went on his Instagram to try and explain why he has not gotten the vaccine. Said it's about challenging a perceived control of society and people's livelihoods. NFL tonight, Tampa Bay at Philadelphia. Sunday, the 1-4 Giants back home after two straight on the road. They face the 4-1 Rams. Joe Judge with an update on Daniel Jones, who's in concussion protocol.
Let's say he's kind of on track with everything right now. He's with the trainers. He can't walk through or practice or anything with us. Say he's in the meetings. He's participating in that part right there. We'll go through the rest of the week and kind of see where that all leads.
Nothing definite on Saquon Barkley, but he is not expected to play. He was last seen on crutches. The Dodgers and Giants have both won 109 games this season. For one of them, the season will end tonight in NLDS decisive Game 5 tonight in San Francisco. The winner then plays Atlanta in the NLCS. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thank you. It is coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson. The parade of bank earnings continues this morning, Dave.
Indeed, and Bank of America up 0.5% before its results, which will start that parade shortly. Third quarter figures, analysts are expecting earnings per share to increase 39% on revenue growth of 6% based on the average estimates in Bloomberg survey. Now, Bank of America slid yesterday by 0.9% after results from JP Morgan Chase were disappointing. Citigroup and Wells Fargo also dropped, and their third quarter figures are also due today, along with those from Morgan Stanley, which rose yesterday in response to strength in J.P. Morgan's investment banking business.
We also get earnings report due from a couple of stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. What is the story there, Dave?
Well, one of them's already out, John. United Health Group. The shares are up 2% in early trading. The biggest U.S. health insurer raised this year's earnings forecast after third quarter profit and revenue beat projections. The other, Walgreens Boots Alliance, those numbers due out shortly. The drugstore chain will be reporting for the fiscal fourth quarter. We have TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, up 3.5% in U.S. trading. The world's largest chipmaker by market value forecast fourth quarter sales and profitability that surpassed analyst estimates. Third quarter earnings also beat projections as TSMC benefited from strong chip demand. You're seeing its U.S. rivals higher as well. NVIDIA up 1.5%. Intel higher by 0.75%. Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, up 1.25%. FedEx and UPS both higher as well. President Biden said the package delivery services agreed to ramp up operations during off-peak and evening hours at U.S. ports to counter shipping delays. So you have FedEx up 1% in early trading, UPS up 2.5%. Some analyst calls of note, NetApp up 2.5%. The maker of data storage systems was raised to buy from Neutral Citigroup, according to the fly on the wall. Perrigo's up 2.5%. The maker of over-the-counter drugs was raised the equivalent of buy from Holt at Raymond James. TJX down 0.5%. The owner of off-price retailers TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods was lowered to hold from Buy at Loop Capital. And Wayfair down 4%. The online home furnishing seller was cut to the equivalent of sell from hold at Morgan Stanley.
All right, Dave, thanks very much. Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson. And as we look at futures ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, the Dow futures up 203 points. S&P E-mini futures 29 points higher. The NASDAQ futures right now, they're up 117 points. And waiting through the next few minutes, we'll get earnings expected from Bank of America. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are moving higher as we watch Bank of America earnings cross the Bloomberg terminal. Third quarter trading revenue exceeding estimates. We'll have more to come straight ahead. First, let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. U.S. futures are in the green right now. Dow futures up 208 points. S&P's gained 29. NASDAQ futures rise by 116. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.53%. Gold up 6. Oil is also trading higher. And Japan rose 1.5% overnight, while European markets are also in the green, led by 1% gains in Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims and the producer price index. And regarding earnings this morning, UNH raised its guidance. You mentioned Bank of America trading higher by 1.9% after those numbers. And look for Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo to also report in the pre-market. In other news, Cathie Wood plans a new fund to track Bitcoin futures. And wrapping things up, Wayfair cut to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. Perrigo raised to outperform at Raymond James. And UPS was raised to buy over at Stifel. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on the terminal, SQUA go. Also just getting earnings in from Wells Fargo. Revenue for the third quarter beating the average analyst estimate. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you, sir. The number of firearms detected at airport checkpoints this year is the highest in the 20-year history of the TSA. The agency says it has found 11 firearms in carry-on bags per 1 million travelers screened, up from just 5 per million in 2019. Olympic champion gymnasts are asking Congress to dissolve the U.S. Olympic Committee's board of directors. The gymnasts say the committee board ignored evidence of sex abuse by jailed former Dr. Larry Nassar. NHL, the Capitals beat the Rangers 5-1. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:49 on Wall Street. Turning now to news in science and technology, we bring you the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes infrastructure-ready graduates from civil engineers to transportation specialists. If it's infrastructure, NJIT grants are building it. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China is preparing to send three astronauts to live on its space station for 6 months. It will be China's longest ever crewed space mission. It'll set a record for the most time spent in space by Chinese astronauts. The Shenzhou 13 spaceship is expected to launch into space early Saturday morning. The first crew served a 90-day mission. They returned in mid-September. Food companies are coming under renewed pressure to use less salt, after U.S. regulators spelled out long-awaited guidelines aimed at reducing sodium levels in dozens of foods, including condiments, cereals, French fries, and potato chips. The voluntary goals for 163 food categories are intended to help lower the amount of salt you eat. A majority of sodium in diets comes from packaged or restaurant foods, not the salt added to meals at home. It makes it harder for people to make changes on their own. And Bloomberg News has learned Amazon is shopping for used long-range Boeing and Airbus cargo planes, the latest evidence of the e-commerce giant's ambitions to move products across borders all on its own. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, Nate, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:51 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden heads to the climate talks weakened by infighting at home. The U.S. and the Philippines seek a return to full military drills next year. And Trump, a Department of Justice official, gets a subpoena as the September 6th battle lines harden. And GOP-led states call the U.S. attack on the Texas abortion law a threat. Let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, thanks for being with us this morning. When the delegations show up in Glasgow, Scotland for the climate talks, what are they bringing to the table from the United States?
That is a really great question, John. I mean, these talks begin on October 31st. That is the same date that Democrats say that they want to have an agreement on that social spending and tax plan, that reconciliation bill that we've been talking about for so long now. They want to make sure they have an agreement on that by then so they can move that infrastructure bill. But there's a lot of questions on what exactly is going to come together in the next 3 weeks. Democrats are still don't have agreement about how they're going to cut more than $1 trillion of funding from the proposed package. Lots of debate on that. And that could mean that when President Biden is heading to the UN's climate change conference, that he might not have a lot of tangible things to point to as far as how the U.S. is one who's leading the climate change battle.
But still, there's no doubt where the president stands when it comes to climate change. He just may not have stuff to back it up with.
Right. I mean, President Biden has been very clear throughout his term and during his time as a candidate that he wants to focus on global climate change and he wants the U.S. to again be a leader on this. And that's where the difficulty comes in, trying to be a leader on the global stage when at the same time, domestically, he's struggling to really get his agenda across the finish line. And remember, the U.S. also has, in terms of international reputation, President Biden is also trying to pull a 180 from where we saw his predecessor, former President Donald Trump, go with the world and with climate. And so Biden's trying to put the U.S. sort of back in the driver's seat, which means that any disputes at home are only more amplified.
And on to our next story. Speaking of the U.S. International stage, the U.S. and the Philippines seeking to return to full military drills in 2022. And let me guess, Emily, this is considered provocative by China.
So China has said that they're okay with it as long as no third parties are involved. But yes, this really does need to be viewed through the lens of the U.S.-Beijing relationship. Also, to a certain extent, the U.S.-Philippine relationship. You know, early in his term, the current Filipino president said he wanted to end military exercises with the U.S. because they wanted to build ties with China. But in recent months, the Philippines has been moving back toward its alliances with the U.S. There are also going to be some other countries potentially involved in these drills. Australia and the U.K. could be observing, and other countries could eventually join these drills again. And once again, this is all related to China, to China's growing power, and to how the U.S. is hoping to relate to China as it becomes a larger and larger force on the world stage.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, thanks a lot. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Well, as we told you, we have the parade of bank earnings continuing this morning. And I'm happy to say juggling plates and spinning plates and juggling balls this morning. Allison Williams from Bloomberg Intelligence to help us figure out Bank of America and Wells Fargo crossing the tape this morning. This is more consumer-focused institutions as opposed to J.P. Morgan results yesterday, which was more institutional. So what's your takeaway so far?
So far, the key metric we're looking at, net interest income, one beat, one miss. So Bank of America coming in a little bit better than expected. We haven't gone through all of the loan detail, but it looks a little bit similar to J.P. Morgan in the sense that there is some sequential growth. Bank of America likes to show these nice charts. They showed them last quarter as well, that loans are bottoming, so showing some pickup in loan growth. So that's a positive, but again, we're going to want to focus on, you know, the pace of that growth and sort of what's happening with commercial line utilization, et cetera. Wells Fargo looks a little light. Have not been through their loan detail yet, as that just hit the
tape. I mean, to be sure, we're nowhere near the loans that we saw pre-pandemic at this point, right? We're still doing a lot of catch-up with these institutions.
So the two things that have happened, so initially in the pandemic, we saw corporations pulling down their lines. So they did a lot of borrowing, right? They had lines of credit. They didn't know what was going to happen, so they sort of borrowed that money from the banks. But as capital markets reopened, they paid that money back and then raised more. And on the consumer side of things, they also have benefited, from the liquidity in the system. And there's a lot of deposits sitting at the consumers. So the economy's healthy. The consumers are healthy. Businesses are healthy. But they just don't need to borrow.
Now, on the institutional side, they're knocking it out of the park when it comes to deal making and such with the investment banking, right?
Two really strong points that we're seeing. We saw J.P. Morgan and Bank of America today. So equity trading, very strong growth, 30% yesterday at J.P. Morgan growth, and it looks like 33% today for Bank of America. Both numbers much better than expected. And advisory, super strong, is I think the only way I could describe it. We're hitting new records. We do think that the fundamentals are there for advisory. Even in the coming year ahead, we just talked about the cash at corporate balance sheets and equity trading. We think that there could be some market share gains. And so that's a key positive for the U.S. banks.
Thanks for putting you on the spot this morning. Allison Williams with the bank earnings. Again, Wells Fargo third quarter revenue, $18.83 billion. That is just barely a beat there. The Bank of America third quarter trading revenue, among other things, is $3.63 billion. The estimate was for $3.27 billion. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures up 212. S&P futures, they are up 29 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.